Praise God. The Lord is here. Are you ready? I want to share something with you from the Bible. I'm sharing with you on the outpouring of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, one of the greatest things that God has done for us today, I tell you, actually, the greatest thing that He has done for us is for us to have the Holy Spirit. Is for Him to pour out the Holy Spirit upon us. For it to be possible in our day to have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He's the Almighty Spirit of God. He is the one that communicates the presence of God. This Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Praise God. All right. So I said that the greatest thing that God has done for us is to make it possible for us to have the Holy Ghost. To have the Holy Spirit of God. Someone may never know the importance of that. Did you know that the Bible tells us here that death is an enemy? Death is not from God. You say, who made death then? It's not God. The Bible says that the one who has the power, who had the power of death, is the devil. Until Jesus defeated him, he had the power of death. The devil did. He was the one who used the power of death to destroy men and women. And so the Bible calls death an enemy of God. So death is an enemy. An enemy of God. God didn't send death. When someone is born blind, they say, that's the way God made him. Born crippled. They say, that's the way God made him. But it's not true. According to the Bible, when Jesus ministered to someone who was deaf, the Bible declares that he rebuked the deaf spirit. He said for the deaf spirit to come out. And when the deaf spirit came out, the man who was deaf began to hear. Someone who was bowed over, who couldn't straighten up herself, came into the synagogue when Jesus was teaching. And then the master said, ought not this woman being the daughter of Abraham whom Satan had bound? Jesus said, whom Satan had bound. Satan bound her. He said, ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from her infirmity? And then Jesus touched her and said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Jesus said it was the devil that bound her. It wasn't God that brought her that way. When people cannot change things in their lives, they say it's God who did it. So God becomes the victim. Can you see it? Because they do not know him. But when Jesus came, he showed us that it was different. He showed us that God was a good God. Hallelujah. So God is a healing God. He's a good God. His desire for us is that we prosper. And that we be successful. And that we be healthy. And that's good news. That's the meaning of gospel. Any other gospel is not a gospel. How could it be good news? To the poor, the gospel is, God is with you, He'll prosper you, He'll help you stand up strong and be able to take care of yourself and help other people. That's good news to the poor. Good news to the sick is, God loves you and wants you well. That's good news. Otherwise, it's not good news. If you say, well, God's come to suffer with you, that's not good news. I'm already suffering. If God's going to join me, that makes two of us. It doesn't get me any better. He's suffering with me. It's not any better. Oh, God is going to help you go through this sickness. I'm tired of going through it. I don't want to go through it. That's the reason I want to go to a doctor. Because I want a doctor to help me come out of it, not to go through it. So it's not a gospel to say God's going to go through it with you. Come on, are you hearing me? God is a good God. Hey, not because we want to make Him look good. No, the Bible tells us that He's a good God. We're not trying to make God look better than He is. You couldn't make God any better. He is perfect. You cannot improve on perfect. If He is God, He ought to be perfect. If He is perfect, you couldn't make Him any better. Come on, is that true? Sure. So we're not trying to make God look good. We're just telling you plain truth. Otherwise, we're lying against God. If we say that God is good and He is not good, we've told a lie. Hallelujah. Hey, tell me, there are people who say that miracles are not for today. Miracles are not necessary. Those miracles are not real. They're not authentic. They're not from God. How stupid to think that way. Tell me, does the devil love people? How could miracles in the name of Jesus be from the devil? Even the devil will be afraid to believe that. Thanks be unto God that there's hope in Jesus. I heard of a man yesterday night. Oh boy, I don't know. I hope we can get him on the platform today. If he's already in here, I hope we can get him. If not, maybe tonight. Well, I was told the fellow, he was blind, and he was trying to get into the hall yesterday night. And they told him out there that he couldn't get in, and that he'll have to go to the overflow outside. And he was blind. And someone was with him. So, as he turned to go, that was when we were praying. And as we were praying, and he was on his way to go back to the overflow, suddenly he began to say, I can see, I can see. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, wonderful. I like it. Right outside. Don't tell me that's from the devil. Oh, boy. Then he saw the gate that they said he couldn't go through. Oh, boy. Hallelujah. Wow. There were miracles yesterday night. Boy. Wonderful. I love God. I'm thankful that He has given us hope. That no matter what our case is, we can have hope. And believe I will not always be this way. If you're blind, you can now think, I will not always be blind. Because I have hope in Jesus Christ. He'll help me. Glory. Well, I said the greatest thing is that we have the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of Almighty God. That's what made Jesus the Christ. That's the Spirit that dwelt in Him in His fullness that made Him who He was. This is mighty. That's the Spirit that makes us children of God today. The same Spirit. He's the Spirit, the Bible says, that raised Jesus from the dead.
glory. Let me begin reading. Are you ready? I'm reading from the book of Acts, chapter number 2, from the 17th verse. He says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." Now, I want you to go to verse 60. From verse 14. I'll give you the background. This was a certain day in Israel, many, many years ago, after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. Disciples were together in a place called the upper room in one accord. And the Bible says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And then cloven tongues like as a fire sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The people, God's children, who were there that day were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Spirit of God. And that's what I just told you is from the verse 1 of chapter 2. So, when they were all filled with the Spirit of God, they began to speak words of praise. And they were magnifying God. They were speaking in other tongues. And the way they were acting and talking and rejoicing. Have you ever seen a drunk fellow? A drunk, when you see a drunk person, he's not out there like, no, he's not drunk enough if he's crying. You know, because when they get drunk, they laugh at things they don't see. You know what I'm talking about. They just go like they're staggering around. I mean, they're laughing and they're singing and laughing. Yeah, I'm so happy today. You know, just like that. And they say, "What's the matter with you?" He says, "Boy, I'm floating today." You know what I'm talking about. So that guy is drunk. And so when they received the Holy Ghost, they were so happy. They were talking. They were talking in other tongues. They were magnifying God. And they were dancing and stabbing all over the place. And then people were looking at them. And then they said, "These guys are drunk. They're drunk. Something's happened to them." Verse 14, are you ready? And Peter was there. The first pope was there. Are you hearing me? And the number one pope was there. Glory to God, he was there. That's why I'm a Roman Catholic. But the Nigerian one. All right, are you ready? Verse 14. But Peter, the pope, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose." He says, "We are not drunk as you think, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." It was quite in the morning. Hey, we're not drunk. This is still morning time. Praise God. About 9 a.m. Well, he says, "For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." He says, you know, the prophet talked about it many, many years ago. And then he begins to quote what the prophet said. And he's telling the people, what the prophet said many years ago has come now. It has come. What the prophet said has come now. This is it. And let's get the announcement. Are you ready? Verse 17. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out of my spirit upon some flesh." Woo! Upon all flesh. Anybody can get it. Hallelujah. "Shall come to pass in the last day," he said, "God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters." Thank God doesn't say your dog. Did you get it? Somebody says, "Well, upon all flesh, that means my cat and my goldfish." No. Don't come on your goldfish. "Yeah, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." I want you to see this. This is beautiful. "They shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." and of my servants and of my handmaidens, I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Oh, this is beautiful. Oh. Look at verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, it's a gift. You don't have to attain it. You don't have to qualify. All you need is to believe in Jesus Christ. So he says what? For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The promise is unto you and to your children and to those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Thanks be unto God. This is beautiful. Look at verse 17 one more time. He says, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. What does it mean, prophesy? It means to speak words that have divine potency. Words that have divine power. That's what it means that they shall prophesy. These are not empty words. These are words that have the ability to cause changes. These are words that have the divine power of Almighty God. So he says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The word here doesn't just mean telling about the future. It means that they will speak words that are anointed with the power of the Holy Ghost. So when we say, be healed, there's power in it. This is wonderful. When we say, you are blessed, there's power in it. Our words are no longer empty. He says the Holy Ghost will come upon us and we shall prophesy. That means speaking words of power. This is great. He says, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. This is great. I'll start with the dreams. Now, dreaming dreams here means, he's not just talking about you dreaming that you saw an angel with a bucket of flowers. No, he's not saying that you dream that you're riding a bicycle into the air. No, he's talking about you. He's saying, dreams come when you sleep. So he says, the old men shall dream dreams. Why does he say the old men shall dream dreams? Because now they are old, they're going to have dreams. In other words, revelations about the things of God and the things of the future while at rest. In other words, while they are not necessarily working, they are sleeping. And when they sleep, they can dream of the future like Jacob did. Hallelujah. He had dreams. David had dreams in his old age. These were great dreams. They could tell the future of the nations. They could tell the future of their children. These were not empty dreams. Abraham in his old age had dreams. These are revelations from God when you're in a state of rest. That's what he's talking about. That's why he said the old men shall dream dreams. Then he also said, your young men shall see visions. Now there is a little difference between these two. Visions are revelations that you get and they give you guidance. They give you guidance. They also motivate you to action. They have visions. So the young men, they still have work to do. So they're going to have the same kind of revelations, but this time the revelations will motivate them to action. These are visions. They see things in the future that they need to do. So they are prepared to work towards those dreams, towards those visions, revelations.
But the old men see dreams. So these are dreams in a state of rest. They don't have to work towards them. But they know the future of their children. They know the future of their nations. Are you still here? We will no longer be blind. He says we receive the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost comes into our lives, we see visions and dreams. We have revelations. We are no longer in the dark. Before things happen, you know. This is grace. Same thing Jesus said. Come on, St. John's Gospel 16 chapter. From verse 13, Jesus said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of truth. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. That means he will guide you into all reality. Praise God. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Did you see that? He will show you things to come. When the Holy Ghost is in your life, he will show you things to come. You will no longer be in the dark. You will not just get up in the day not knowing what the day will bring forth. No, you never walk in the dark anymore. He'll show you things to come. You have a direction in life. You know where you're going. He will show you things to come. That's what Jesus said. For the old man, they would dream about these things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the young men, they will see them in visions of God. Visions can come to you while you're standing, while you're driving. Visions can come to you, see, while you're wide awake. Visions can come to you while you're working. But dreams don't come while you're working. You got to be sleeping. See the difference? He'll show you things to come. Oh, there's more. There's more. This is talking about the outpouring of the Spirit of God. They shall dream dreams. They shall see visions. They will know the future. They will speak divine utterances. Prophesy. Hallelujah. Then there's another one. In Acts chapter 1, still talking about the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Acts chapter number 1. In verse 8, everybody outside, if you're hearing me and you're enjoying this, shout hallelujah. Yeah. Verse 8, he says, oh boy, these are the words of Jesus, but he shall receive power. Ooh. Thank you, Father. He shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And it shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Everywhere. He says, but he shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. He shall receive power. What do you mean power? Power is the ability to cause changes. That's what power is. The dynamic ability to cause changes. So he tells us, you shall receive the ability to cause changes when the Holy Ghost comes into your life. Which means, if the circumstances of your life don't favor you, you can change them. This is great. That's what it is to be a child of God. If you're a child of God, you should never be disadvantaged in life. Never. Never. Never disadvantaged in life. What do you mean? A dog gives birth to dogs. A cat gives birth to cats. A cow will give birth to cows. Are you still there? Monkeys will reproduce monkeys. But God... I said, but God, when God gives birth, what do you think? Hey,
When God made us, He made us in His image to look like Him. So we look like Him. And so we got two hands because He got two hands. We got two legs because He got two legs. He got one head, you know, one mouth, one nose, two ears, two eyes. So we look like Him. But then when you give your life to Christ and He tabernacles in your life and He impacts your spirit with eternal life of Almighty God, and you are born again, you receive the divine nature, you receive the life of Almighty God, you become one like Him, you become His very offspring. Hallelujah. The Bible says in James chapter 1 verse 18, of His own will begat He us by the word of truth. The Bible says, be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and all things are become new. Hallelujah. All things are become new. Now He says, we are partakers of His divine nature because we are born again. The life of God has now taken residence in our spirits. We are not what we used to be. We may look like that on the outside, but brother, on the inside, you are a new creation. Hallelujah. Born again with the Spirit of God. So when God gives birth, what are you going to have? You can't have a failure. When God gives birth, who? Oh, boy, the anointing of God is here. Peter was preaching at Lystra. Paul was preaching at Lystra. In the 14th chapter of the book of Acts. While he was preaching, there was a man who was impotent in his feet. Never walked. He couldn't walk. He was just that right there on the ground. And Peter was preaching this stuff. And when the man heard it, he believed it. And Paul looked at him. And then he said, sir, you can stand up. You see, you don't need to be prayed for anymore. If you're a child of God, you have overcome sickness. You have overcome pains. You have overcome infirmities. You have overcome the devil. Hallelujah. That's all you need when eternal life is traveling through your veins. Oh, glory. That's all you need. And he said to the man, stand up. And the man got up. Just that. He didn't have to pray for him. He just said, get up. Because when you're a child of God, there's nothing that you cannot do. Oh, you say, are you saying that we are God's? Huh? Follow me. St. John chapter 10. Follow me. St. John chapter 10. If you are the offspring of God, what do you think you are? We must be gods under Him. Come on, He is Papa God. And we are His kiddies. Come on. Yep. Children of God ought to be gods. Yep. Ah, somebody says, okay, believe what you will now. Leave me alone. This is working. If you can change the circumstances of your life, you must be a God, oh. If you can, you must be. But thank God we are under Him. So, because He's training us, just like a daddy trains the little children. You understand? You're bringing them up. We belong to Him. Okay, let's find out from the very lips of Jesus. Chapter 10. Are you there? Yep. I want to begin reading from verse 30. Nobody talked like Jesus. Did you ever read? They sent the soldiers to go and arrest Jesus. And they went, Roman soldiers. And then they got there to the entrance where Jesus was preaching. And then they said, hey, as soon as I give the sign, we get in and we arrest him. All right? Yes, sir. And they were ready. And Jesus began preaching. And when he was preaching, these soldiers, they couldn't take it. Boy, they had never heard words like this. They went back to the scribes and the priests. They said, why have you come without him? The soldiers said to the priest, nobody ever talked like that man. Nobody. Nobody talked like Jesus. You know, religious people say, we are like little ants in your sight. Thou great God. We are insignificant. We are sinners. There is none righteous. But God has given us his righteousness. Hallelujah. We couldn't be righteous on our own. We couldn't get it. But he gave it to us. He qualified us. We couldn't qualify. But then he gave us the ticket. And he said, this is my ticket. You use my ticket and come in. Oh boy. And here we are. Listen to Jesus. Verse 30. Nobody talk like him. Chapter 10, verse 30, St. John's Gospel. He says, I and my Father are one. Period. See it right there. Did you see that? No is and buts. Nothing like that. No if. Look at it. I and my Father are one. And he looked around to see what they thought. They didn't like it, of course. Look at it. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him for saying that. They didn't like him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Yep. I mean, I've been living among you. For what reason do you stone me now? What have I done that's wrong? Watch. Listen. The Jews answered him, for a good work we stone thee not. They agreed he did good works. They couldn't see one wrong thing with Jesus. All right. For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Did you see that? They said, we are not stoning you because of any good thing you've done, but because you have blasphemed. Because you, being a man. See, they were looking at the outward appearance. You, being a man. Or making yourself God. Like a religious fellow be thinking about me now. How can he say that we are gods because we are children of God? He can't say that. You can't just put two and two together and make four. But two and two will make four. No. Spiritually, there must be some other interpretation. Okay, give me the interpretation. All right, let me read the next words. Then you interpret them. Jesus answered them. I know some of you have already seen that. He said, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. Whoops. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. That's the truth. If I don't do the things that the Father would do, then don't believe me. But if I do, he says, believe for the very work's sake. He said, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. I think it's important for me to show you where he got it from. Turn to Psalm 82. Where Jesus was quoting from. It's very, very enlightening. The words that are there. You know, this is prophetic. Psalm 82. Are you there? Watch this now. Oh, from verse 5. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Everything is upside down. That's what he's saying. Things are not working out right because they do not know and they do not understand. Somebody said to me one day, do you say there is a God? I said, there is a God. He said, I don't think there is a God. I said, why don't you think there is a God? He said, look under the bridge and see people who are suffering. He said, don't tell me that God wants it that way. He said, if there is a God, he wouldn't do that. I said, I'm so glad you saw that. I said, because God's not the one who did it, but the people don't know. God's already done something about that situation. God's already blessed, but they don't know. Here, look at it. He says, they do not know, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. If you do not know and you do not understand, you will continue in darkness. Are you seeing that? Watch it now. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said. Look at it. I have said. I have said. Ye are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High. But look at verse 7. But ye shall die like men. Why? Because they know not, neither do they understand. So they die like men. Look at Jesus. He said, this one thing received I from my Father. He gave me power to lay my life down. He didn't die like a man. The Bible tells us he commanded his own death. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Look at Jacob. When Jacob was ready to die, the Bible says he called his children together and instructed all of them, and then he mounted the bed. Are you hearing me? He mounted his bed and he said, bye-bye, and slept off. David the king did the same thing. He put the crown on his son's head and said, now this is the king, O Israel. And then climbed his bed. And they were watching him. He climbed his bed and died. Are you here? This is glorious. He says, but he shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. God's children don't fall like one of the princes. That only happens when they know not, neither do they understand. Therefore what? They die like men and fall like one of the princes. He says, I have said ye are gods and all of you are children of the Most High. But he shall die like men. What is he telling us? That we are not mere men. How can we die like men? If we are men, we should die as men. But he says, but he shall die like men. Why? Because when you become a child of God, you are more than a man. That's what Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, when I came to you, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He said, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for up till now you are not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. He said, since there is division among you, there's envy among you, and you are living as men. As men. Which means, when you are born again, you're a child of God, the life in you is not the life of a man. Oh, he said, as many St. John's Gospel chapter 1, read from verse 12. For as many as believed in him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, which were born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, nor of blood. Hey, when you're born again, your life is no longer of blood. Oh. That's the reason when you are born again, sickness should not travel through your body. Because your life is no longer the life of blood. Because in the book of Leviticus, he said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. But when you are born again, the life of your body is in the spirit. Because he said, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit shall vitalize your mortal body. So you do not live by blood anymore. You live, hallelujah, by the power of the Holy Ghost. A dear man of God was kidnapped by wicked men. And they said, we're going to watch you die. They sat him down and gave him some poisonous substance. And they said, you drink it. We'll watch you get mad and die right here. He laughed. He said, that can't work. They said, go ahead and do it. Oh, he said, this is not poisonous to me. They knew what they fixed for him. So they said, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You will get mad first and then you'll die right here. Oh, no, he said, because I'm born again. So what does that mean? He said, watch it. And he took that cup of that substance. And then he said, now you go into my body and nourish it, all right? And he drank all of it. He drank all of it. Isn't that what Jesus said? These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. We are living in a day when people have been so deceived. They say, well, what did you eat? That's the thing that's wrong with your stomach. What did you drink? Brother, if you are born of God, you have overcome the world and its systems. Hallelujah. There's something in you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. This new creation cannot be defeated. This new creation cannot be destroyed. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. But you know, we haven't preached it in the churches. We haven't taught it right. We have taught that God has given us a certain kind of life just to be religious and to be morally sound and to be good and nice. But brother, it is more than morality. It is more than just being sound in scripture. It has to do with eternal life. This life, hallelujah. He says, this life is in his son. He that has a son has this life. Hallelujah. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. We have overcome the world. We are not trying to overcome the world. We have overcome the world. Can you shout amen? Hallelujah. He said, ye are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High. Oh, glory. Let me tell you something. The generation of the church that will see the rapture of the church is that generation. Oh, glory. I feel the anointing working here. Hallelujah. Is that generation that refuses to recognize death. Is that generation that understands that death has been defeated. The Bible says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He didn't say the last enemy that shall be defeated. For all the enemies have been defeated. But death is still showing his face. But he's going to be destroyed. But already he has been defeated. And so when we look at death eyeball to eyeball, we remember the words of Jesus. He said, heal the sick, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Hallelujah. No wonder Paul said, though our outward man perish. That means our outward man may get weaker and may have wrinkles. But he says, but the inward man is getting, oh hallelujah, renewed every day. And then he says, we are being renewed through knowledge. after the image of him that created us. Do you understand? And if we're being renewed on the inside, no wonder he said you shall receive dynamic ability to cause changes. Now that dynamic ability means a power that's working on the inside. Like a dynamo, it has the power to reproduce itself. Oh glory, hallelujah. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. That means I will not leave you helpless. We are not helpless. We may look helpless to you, but we are not. We are not helpless. We are not helpless. The Bible says we are those who have come from death. Oh boy. If we have come from death, what is it but life from the dead? That's what we have. The Bible says he has made life and immortality available to all. He has brought it to light through the gospel. Life and immortality. What do you mean by immortality? I tell you, that's what Enoch found out while he was not, for God took him. Before his translation, he had the testimony that he pleased God. He walked by faith, the Bible says. He says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. That only happens by faith. If it happens by faith to Enoch, then it must have been by faith for Elijah. I tell you, Jesus Christ, one of those days when he had finished talking to his disciples, he just unlocked that power within him and he began to ascend. They were looking at him and he was going. They're looking at him until he was gone. And one day, brother, one day we're going to be walking in the streets. One day we're going to be talking to somebody. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Why are we preaching? Why are we preaching? Not just to get the sick healed. No, Lazarus was raised from the dead. He died again. Blind Bartimaeus was healed, but he died. Are you hearing me? The woman with the issue of blood was healed, but she died again. Why are we preaching? Because there is something greater than healing. There is something greater than being raised from the dead. There is something greater. It is life with Almighty God. Forever and ever and ever and ever. Glory to God. That's what we are preparing for. One day the sounding of the trumpet shall take place. The Bible says that there will be the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive shall be caught up, hallelujah, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. That day is near. That day is near. The reason for your healing is so that you can be healthy enough to serve God, because the time is short. God wants you to be healthy enough to do the work, because the work is great and the time is short. You have to do it quick. If you're crippled, you can't do it well. If you're blind, you can't do it well. If you're deaf, you can't do it well. You need to be healthy enough to do the work of God now in this day and this hour. That's the reason for healing. He's proven his love to you, but he wants you to do his work. He wants your salvation. The time is short. He's coming again, and the time is short. He's pouring out his spirit upon us today so that we can do the work of God, not with human ability, but with the ability of God. For no man can do these things except God be with him. He said, be as harmless as those. Why is a serpent harmless as doves? Why? Because it says, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. We know where we are. We're right in the midst of wolves. They're all around about us and we know it. But that's the reason we have to have the anointing of Almighty God. To walk in the midst of wolves. So that when they try to bite, they find out that though you were a sheep, yet inside you is the rock of the living God. You try to bite a stone, your teeth will break. That's why he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the rocks. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, he's in this place. I'm telling you. Jesus said, I'll pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter. In the Greek, he said, Alon Parakleton. He means another one that is exactly like me to go along with you. Boy, this was comforting. You know, the disciples had been with him 3 years. And then Jesus said, I'm going. I'll die and I'll be raised up. And after that, I'll go to heaven. They knew they'll miss him. And they became sad. And Jesus said, because I've told you this thing, sorrow hath filled your heart. There you are, Master. We are so sorrowful. You're going away. And you're going to leave us in the midst of these wolves. Oh, Jesus said, don't worry. He said, if you love me, keep my word. All right? And they're looking at him. He said, just keep my word. And I'll pray the Father on the grasskilot viractus to paracton, she says. Ito ubraktila zoshes apalito kondla haxtas. That the world may know. That the world may know that I've come to be with them. For they belong to me. My children are mine. I'm here to help them. I'm here to travel with them. I'm here to uplift them, saith the Lord. I want the world to know that I love my own. That I'm with them. Tell them for me that they may know, saith the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I wish you'd keep the words of the Spirit in your heart. He said, I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. When he said that, the disciples were comforted. Because he didn't just say, I'll send another word. No, he said, I'll send another word. The Greek words there actually meant another one that's exactly like me. They used two words for another. One was heteron, coming from heteros, meaning one of a different kind. If I had one pulpit here, and I had a wooden pulpit here, and another glass pulpit of another shape, then I'll say heteros. They are different. This is another pulpit. But when I use heteros, you understand it is not exactly the same, even when you haven't seen them. But if I say allos, if I use that in the place of another, instead of using heteros in the Greek, and I use allos, it means, even though you haven't seen it, it means it's exactly the same in kind and quality, like the one that you have seen or the one I've been talking about. So Jesus didn't say, I'll pray the Father and he shall send you heteron paracleton. No, he said, I'll pray the Father and he shall send you allon paracleton. Meaning another one to go with you, one to travel with you, to go alongside with you, that is exactly like me. He looks like me, he talks like me, he loves like me, he'll help you like me, he'll be with you just like me. And he is a paraclete, one that goes with you. He's an advocate. He's a straightener. He's a comforter. He's a counselor. Are you hearing me? He's an intercessor, and he's a standby. What do you mean standby, brother? When you lose your strength, when you're out of your own strength, glory to God, there's another strength walking on the inside of you. No wonder he said you are peculiar. You are peculiar. You are a different breed. Are you hearing me? We are a different kind of generation. This is a glorious generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Why? We are the ones that when you press us down so hard and you think you have done with us, brother, we shake ourselves out and we come back again alive. Hallelujah. Just like you have a standby generator. When one fails, before you know it, another one starts immediately. When your strength fails and you say, I can't take it anymore. If you have the Holy Ghost, relax, happy are you. For when your strength fails, you think you're done. And the devil thinks he's done with you. He thinks you're out. You are not out. The standby takes over. And right away, you just rise up and the devil can't understand it. You are back in faith, glory to God, speaking the words of power, and he can't understand it. The Bible says likewise. The Spirit himself helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, He helps us with groanings that cannot be uttered. My God, we don't have words anymore when we are praying. Sometimes the case is so terrible. We don't know what to say and we are praying. We are short of words. We don't know what to say. All we have are deep sighs. All we have just a cry. All we have just a groaning. No more words to express ourselves. But the Bible says those groanings are not from your head. They're not from your mind. They are the groanings of the Holy Ghost. And then the Bible says, He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. For He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Hallelujah. When I start praying like that, I know one thing. All things work together for good. No matter what case I find myself, all things work together for good. No matter how I find myself, in suffering, in pain, all things work together for good. I may have lost my job. They have driven me out of home. All things work together for good. My parents may run me out. All things work together for good. You may lose your position. All things work together for good. Your money may be stolen from you. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. No wonder He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. We cannot be disadvantaged. Are you hearing me? We are sons of God. Sons and daughters of Almighty God. He says, I say ye are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High. Oh, glory. Where are you in your life today? What has happened to you? It's time to turn around. It's time to speak words of power. Today you're going to lift your hands up like this and you're going to say, Father, I receive the Holy Ghost. If you had trouble in your body, you say, Father, this body is now yours. It is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Come and dwell in this body. And I can tell you, if He comes to live within you, hallelujah, every devil will have to leave your body. Every pain will have to vacate your body. Hallelujah, every infirmity will have to go. Oh, glory to His name. What an anointing is here this morning. What glory is here this morning. Lift your hands toward heaven. His power is in this place. So strong. So strong. So strong. So strong. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. So strong. My, 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 my. The power of the Holy Ghost is in this place. He's here. Oh, hallelujah. And we don't need to wait. We don't need to beg. He's passing out gifts.